Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. In today's episode, I'm joined with Max's grand champion from the September Challenge, Tim Mago. And Tim has a really unique story where he's done a couple of challenges in the past, and this challenge really highlighted the importance of education. So if you find yourself in this challenge right now, maybe you're doing the challenge and you're not sure how you can get the best result, this is the podcast you want to listen to, because Tim really breaks down how he learnt as much as he could with training and nutrition to really smash a challenge. And he goes through lots of his tips and tricks on how he was able to transform his body and regain his youth. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. Today, I'm joined with Tim Mago, and Tim is a very special guest. Tim is the winner of the September Max's Challenge. So, Tim, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Man, I'm so excited to finally get a chance to chat with you here. Tim, would you like to start by giving us a little bit of an introduction of yourself, telling us where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Tim Mago?
Yeah, so I'm from Werribee in Victoria, in the western suburbs. I'm a sales manager for a seafood importer. So we order shipping containers of seafood, and I sell stock to wholesalers and food service groups, and then they sell it to restaurants, all that kind of stuff. That's me, basically.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about your job. We've had a few people in the challenge who have sales roles. Is your role mainly on the road, or are you mainly office-based?
Yeah, so the way we're set up is we've got a head office in Perth. The state managers, we all work from home, and we're basically on the road seeing customers trying to sell our stock. The stock that we buy goes into public cold storage, so we don't actually have an office. We all work from home.
Yeah. So I guess what I'm alluding to is you spend a bit of time on the road and traveling. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. Would you be able to speak about your experiences with maybe traveling and traveling for work, and then finding time to do things such as meal prep and going to the gym and completing the challenge? What was that experience like with work and then completing the challenge?
Yeah. So lucky I have a little bit of flexibility with work, as I work from home, but I spend most of the day on the road. So the way I did it is I've got an exercise bike at home. I would wake up in the morning and do a bit of cardio before breakfast, or sometimes after breakfast, and then hit the road, do the work. I'd come home and then hit the gym, do some weights at night. Then I would also, after the weight session, I'd do a little bit more cardio, and that kind of gradually increased from the start to the end of the challenge, a little bit extra cardio. But it was definitely hectic. It didn't leave me much time doing the gym and the challenge. And of course, we got a little baby boy as well. So it was pretty full on.
How's the baby boy?
He is now 15 months.
15 months. Wow. So you're on the road a lot. You've been in the challenge. You've won the challenge, and you've got a child that's not even 2 yet. You're a role model to a lot of dads out there. I love it. Tim, we all have our own stories as to the reason why we started the challenge. Would you like to tell us the reason why you decided to start the September challenge?
Yeah, definitely. I was getting quite out of shape. Kind of the nature of the job, as I said, on the road a lot. It's a little bit less physically demanding than my previous job. And I've been doing this for 4 years, haven't been consistent in the gym. And especially when we had my partner pregnant and we had a little boy, I'd been more than a year since I'd been to the gym, and I packed on the weight. So I was getting quite out of shape, which is not very common for me. So that was the main reason to get the challenge. I really wanted to get my fitness back on track, get into some really good shape, because I wanted to be obviously a good role model to little boy as he's growing up. And I had done the challenge back in 2013. One of my friends had done it in 2012 and he made the top 10. He did a really awesome transformation, Jake Lowe. And that's how I actually learned about the challenge. I did it the next year. Did okay, but didn't make top 10 or anything like that. And then so thinking just back in late July, early August is when I decided I've got to do something. And I straight away got onto Google and had a look and when the next mass challenge is. And it was only a few weeks away, so I thought I'd better start straight away. So straight away, I went back to the gym. I got a new trainer, started training a couple of days a week, and then started to build on that. I think I had about 5 or 6 weeks before the challenge started. So by the time the challenge started, I'd already been hitting the gym 4 times a week and then all out once the challenge started.
Yeah, amazing. And you've achieved such an amazing result, and it's something you should be very, very proud of. Now,
Tim, you kind of highlighted a common story or theme that happens with a lot of us as we age, and that's our priorities changing. So as you got older, you now have a child, and you know, you've got your job, and you've got different priorities now, and you always said that you were fit and healthy, and then that weight kind of creeped on. And my question to you is, you know, was there a specific moment, maybe you looked at yourself in the mirror or you didn't fit into a certain shirt? Was there a specific moment where you said, Tim, time to do something now, let's do the Max's Challenge again?
It's an accumulation of a few of those little things, like a few comments from friends, you know, that obviously noticing the weight, also the clothes as well, having to buy some new clothes because they weren't fitting. Just an accumulation of that, you know, not liking the look of being a bit overweight. And so this is something I'd been thinking of, and I knew I was going to do something about it. I was just kind of putting it off and putting it off and finding it hard to find the time. And then it just got to a point, it wasn't anything in particular that did it. One thing, it was just an accumulation of all of them. And then I just decided I'm going to do it. Well, I guess what triggered it is the Max's Challenge. Because when I had a look online to see when the next Max's Challenge was, if it wasn't for 3 or 4 months, I might not have started then, you know?
Mm. Yeah, so it's just good timing, hey? Perfect timing. Now, you've kind of spoken a little bit about some of your challenges, but while you were completing the Max's Challenge, was there like a really big challenge you had to overcome? And if there was, what was it?
I would say the diet. Like, it took me, I really enjoy hitting the weights. I really do. I don't like the cardio quite as much, but it's fine. And once I start seeing results, it's okay. I don't mind it. But the big thing was just changing my eating habits, like a complete overhaul. The weeks leading up to the challenge, once I started the gym again, I didn't really change the eating habits much. I knew what I had to do, but I didn't really force myself to change the diet habit until the challenge started. And then from there, I guess the biggest challenge was learning more about the calories, the protein, everything, what I needed to get the best results, and trying to incorporate that into the diet and just removing everything else or as much as I could gradually.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you kind of mentioned eating habits. Now, when you mean habits, is that things like snacking or, you know, finishing other people's meals? What did you mean by your eating habits?
Well, because I'm working on the road and we're on the phone, the laptop, and we're out on the road seeing customers. So there's no meal prep at all. I'll stop somewhere to do some orders or some phone calls or some emails. It'll be like a McDonald's or a KFC, even the Subway, like a lot of the Subway stuff's okay, depending on what you get, but I'll just get whatever I wanted, whenever I was. And there would be no time or thought going into what I was eating. It was just convenient food, basically.
Yeah. And I think that's such a hard thing to overcome because, you know, your priority is to work and your priority is to get the job done. And then second to that is, okay, like, what do I need to eat? Who cares? Like, as long as it's convenient, easy, it's quick, I can go in, I can do my work, and then I can leave. And I think that's a really hard behavior to change. But then my question to you is, what steps did you take to change that behavior? Did you go just completely cold turkey, or did you start making better decisions such as maybe going to a Subway and having like a salad or a better food choice while on the road? Like, what did you do to overcome that?
Very much cold turkey, or what I thought was cold turkey, but I still learned more during the challenge and refined it and improved it better. But one good thing is I really like fish. So I was having fish practically every night for dinner, and I would have it with either broccoli, cauliflower, mushrooms I really liked, or asparagus. That was basically the veggies, and I'd just rotate them a little bit, and I would rotate the fish, but mostly I was having salmon for the first few weeks. But that's one thing. I had dinner sorted, and I'm pretty good in the way of some food I like, I'm happy to eat it day after day after day after day. I think that's a little advantage I can say. And same thing in the morning, I was just having eggs and also, again, broccoli.
Mm, eggs and broccoli.
Yeah, I don't mind the broccoli. It's okay. A lot of people don't like it. And then during the day, I would normally stop and get a Subway, and I would have the salad, and I would be having little or no sauce, but I was basically lots of greens, turkey breast. And then in between meals, I would have like a protein shake, protein bar, something like that, something just very low calorie. And it worked well because I could take some of that stuff with me in the car. If I got really hungry, I could have like a protein bar or a shake, but I ate enough. It was not dense in calories, but the volume of the food, there was plenty. It wasn't like I was hungry all the time. It was pretty manageable. It was more manageable than I thought it would be.
Yeah, Beautiful. Now, you've kind of alluded to it already about learning things, and you've kind of spoken about how you learned a lot more about the details of nutrition. So things like calories and proteins and other macro groups, you know, what steps did you take to try to learn a little bit more? Did you simply do like a Google search, or did you watch some of the videos that we have? Like, what did you do to learn more about the details of nutrition?
Oh, yes. I will say, just a part of your last question as well, I forgot to mention, I got an air fryer.
Oh, okay.
And I bought that just before the challenge started, and that is awesome. It's really convenient. Put my fish and my veggies in there at the same time I get home from work or from the gym, put it in there, 7 or 8 minutes, done and served. It's so easy. So that was one big thing as well. But yes, getting back to learning on the macros, I was using a trainer 3 times a week. And so I was lifting weights 6 nights a week, 3 nights a week with a trainer, 3 nights a week by myself. And I would pick my trainer's brain like you wouldn't believe. And that's just very, very helpful and really, really helped me get through the challenge. And then what I would do is when I'm doing the cardio, which is not that exciting, I'd get on YouTube and I'd be looking at what a lot of the other fitness gurus, or I lean towards anyone that's more science-based and not fad-based.
Do you have any recommendations?
Athlene X.
Yeah.
Very good. Used.
Yeah, Jeff Cavalier. Yeah.
Awesome. One really good one, he's a bit out there, he's a bit crazy, but he's really, really good content, is Greg Doucette. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
I've heard of him, yeah. Yeah.
He's a bodybuilder. So like some of these guys will take you through their whole competition prep. So I would know roughly what they're doing and what works, especially someone like Greg Doucette, who's been doing it for decades, really. And he's got the eating habits down pat, and you can see it in his results and this very detailed content. So I would also be looking at a lot of recipes that bodybuilders would incorporate into the diet, because something, you know, a little bit more interesting. Some things I didn't think you could get away with while you're cutting weight, which is actually not too bad. Like popcorn, for example, as long as you're not eating stuff that's, you know, triple glazed with salted caramel or something, just like your basic popcorn is actually quite good. And it's, you know, it's filling and it's wanting to eat. That's how I learned a combination of those. And as soon as something sparked an interest, like, oh, can you really eat that? Then I would look further into it and do the Google searches on what the macronutrients are in popcorn, for example, and this and that. And what was really helpful that I got from my trainer and then looked into it further online was just knowing how your proteins, your carbs and your fats translate into calories, you know, 4 calories per carb and so on. That way, you know, you're looking for foods that aren't dense in this or are dense in that. So you're getting good calories and not using your budget on junk, basically.
No, beautiful.
Finding little things that fit into your calorie budget, like little treats that aren't going to do any real damage.
Yeah, I think you've nailed it on the head. And especially with things like popcorn, using that as an example. Fun fact, popcorn has one of the highest satiety ratings, as meaning that a very small amount of popcorn will make you feel full, and it's got a very low caloric density. Similar to watermelons. So watermelon's the same, got a really high satiety level. That's because of the water content in there. But you've nailed it on the head where, you know, when we get to those positions where we feel snacky or we want to indulge in some foods, we can make those small choices, such as let's make some popcorn, of course, not triple glazed with caramel and salt and butter and everything like that. And that will make us feel full and give us that crunchy fix that we were looking for. But Tim, it sounds like you've been looking at a lot of information around being a bodybuilder. And my question now is, you know, what's your goal from here? You've won the Max's Challenge. Do you have any fitness and health goals moving forward into 2020?
Yes. One in particular, I want to maintain the lean physique, but I also want to pack on some muscle. I'm 38 now, and I want to just see how much muscle I can pack on over the next at least couple of years. I'm not quite sure how close I am to my kind of what you would call genetic potential for building muscle, because I've always been relatively fit, but not very muscular. And I never hit the gym until I was 31. Then I trained for like a year or 18 months or 2 years, something like that. Then I didn't train again for a couple of years. Then I trained for a year. Then I didn't train for, you know, over a year. So I don't know if I'm still able to get any newbie gains or if I'm going to only gain, you know, a kilo or two next year. I don't know. I just want to maintain basically similar, very, very similar, like 80% similar diet, just a little bit less cardio, eating a small surplus and build up some muscle. As far as the actual specific fitness goals, I haven't ruled out maybe doing some natural bodybuilding when I'm in my 40s, but that all depends on if I'm able to pack on much muscle or not over the next couple of years. But the main one is just to be, I want to get bigger.
Get bigger.
Yeah.
Get big, stay
like I want to break all my PRs in the gym, which I've already knocked a couple off, which is good. And I just want to keep improving. I've got a few lifting goals I'd like to achieve, which would be nice.
Nice. Do you want to announce them on the podcast here? Because then people can keep you accountable to them.
Sure. I haven't deadlifted more than 160 kilos. And just to give you an idea, I'm only 5'3", so I'm not a very big guy. But I would like to hit at least 180, possibly get close to 200 or more. It might take a few years, but I would like to get there. I just like seeing it improve. It's just a good feeling. Squats, I'm currently at 160 kilos, but that's not ass to grass kind of deep. It's good, full, but not quite ass to grass. And so I've started working on those deeper squats just in one session. And it's just a lot harder. So I'm just curious to see how far I can go with that. But bench, I haven't lifted more than 90, and I'd really like to get 100. Definitely want to surpass 100. Some of these goals are probably fairly short term. I'm sure that I should be maybe looking at some higher goals for a little bit further down the track. What else? Overhead press. I haven't done more than 60 kilos yet. I'd like to at least get past my body weight, and maybe 80 kilos would be nice. I'm not sure if I can do that one, but the lift, mainly just the bigger compound ones. So I've really got a number goal in mind. The other ones, I just progress. I'm not too fast.
Mate, that sound like very achievable goals. And remember that strength really is a skill, and it can ramp up really quickly and then it can go down quite quickly as well. But building muscle is a different conversation as well. But judging off just your squat, if you could squat almost as much as you're deadlifting, I think you can definitely smash out that deadlift. And then if you're overhead pressing almost as much as you're benching, I think you could smash out that bench as well. So you got lots of potential, which is exciting to see. Mate, you've won the Max's Challenge, and there's probably a few people listening to this who are interested in doing the challenge or are thinking about doing the challenge or are currently doing the challenge. You know, what advice would you give somebody who's listening to this and they went, you know, Tim, what can I do to win the Max's Challenge? What advice would you give them?
Oh yeah, definitely. You got to track what you're eating. You can't be eating anything without knowing how many calories it is and what the breakdown of the nutrients. And you really need to know or get as close as you can to finding out what your maintenance calories are and work on that. You really need to know those numbers. It becomes a lot easier. I've done this before in the past and not done that well and not focused on this. And this is the biggest thing. The other thing is useful information of like how many calories you burn to lose a kilo of fat, roughly. I was told about 7,700 calories is going to be roughly a kilo of body fat gone. So if you can kind of have these numbers in mind, you can hit your daily and weekly targets, and you know, you don't have to obsess, like keep checking the scales and all that kind of stuff, but you don't need to panic when you understand that you've definitely created a calorie deficit. You're following it, the scale's not moving, but there's all these other variables, like you could be holding water depending on what you've eaten and this and that. There's so many variables with your weight day to day that as long as you've got those numbers and you know you're hitting them, you know it's going to come off. Like I'd do everything right for a few days and I would see the scales not move at all or only move 100 grams. And then in the space of 3 days, a kilo's gone. But because there's all these other variables with the water weight and this and that. So you really think you need to know the numbers of what you're eating and you need to know the numbers of what you're burning on, you know, with your cardio. And you have to have an idea of how much you're burning and how much that's going to translate into. And then just have a bit of patience with the scales because they will, if you're doing everything right, they're going to come down, even though sometimes it looks like it's kind of stalling.
Mm. Well, that's really good advice. You're saying to make sure you track your food and to not over obsess with the number on the scale. Is that the main two?
Yep.
Yeah, beautiful. Tim, let's wrap it up there. I want to say thank you so much for being part of the Challenge podcast. And I want to congratulate you on such an amazing transformation. I know that you're such a big role model to lots of guys out there who are in a similar situation to you and are looking to transform their body. So for that, I want to say thank you. And thank you for being part of the Challenge podcast.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.